How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
We have Mike Birnbaum in the waiting room, but I got to use the restroom, so I'll be back and let him in.
Okay. All right.
Part of the meeting, people are in the waiting room. I just gotta use the bathroom and I'll let him in. Good evening, folks.
Good evening. Mike, you weren't sideways anymore. That's good.
Good evening.
Evening.
Can everybody see the share screen with the agenda on it right now?
No.
Yes.
Yes, I hear yeses and noes.
I hear it. I see it.
Okay, great. Good.
I do. I'm not used to this. I'm using a different screen. And it is great. I can see you guys on one screen and this on another.
Great. And Janice, you did provide the link to the presenter tonight, or someone did?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I sent a copy of the packet. Board packet to her. Yeah.
Hello, Kathy.
So hopefully.
Hi, Kathy. I usually use an iPad, but I'm using an actual computer this meeting, which is kind of nice. I could see you much better than a tiny postage stamp picture.
I'm spoiled at work. I've got a three monitor set up and I go home to one and I'm like, aw.
Yeah, I bet there's a way for me to, I have a monitor connected, but that's where I have the agenda. I'm sure I could switch it. I just really don't know how. Or I think I could do it. I just am too lazy to do it right before a meeting.
You mean that's not the best time to try a new tech and software right before a board meeting?
Nope. Just not going to do it. It's amazing what age and experience will teach you.
I've been needing to upgrade my iPad, but Apple won't let me because they've closed stores throughout California and Tennessee.
Well, COVID. Well, I'm a little bit under the weather tonight.
You know, it's that time of year, you know, aside from the COVID stuff, like I was feeling kind of queasy as well, just not 100%. So none of the symptoms, no fever or anything like that, but it's just that time of the year, I guess, you know. Nobody would be really paying that much attention to it if it wasn't for COVID this right. Flu season.
Hi, Ingrid.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, that was better.
So good evening, Ingrid. So I'll be running kind of the screen share. I have the report as well as the agenda item ready to kind of move along. So when we're ready for that item, just let me know where you want, which page you'd like me to go to, and I can present it in a couple seconds.
Okay. Yeah, actually the order, I think the order in the packet was a little bit different. So the first document I'm going to go over is the audited financial statements, then the governance letter, and then the management letter, just so you have them queued up.
Okay.
I think the governance letter is first, so.
Yeah.
And the management letter is all the way at the end.
Jose?
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, so when we get to item 9, I believe that's the continuing COA item. I get it confused a little bit with the short-range transit plan item.
We'll clarify that during the time, but yeah.
When you get to the COA item, are you and folks open to questions or comments just for clarification, so we have a little bit better idea how to what we're thinking of in the months ahead?
You can ask during your public comment period whatever comments come to mind, Mike, and if there are some questions that we are able to answer, we're always happy to do so. But our job hopefully is, you know, throughout the presentation, you get most, if not all of your answers to your questions.
There you go.
Okay.
Good answer.
Ask the quiz, Jose.
Yeah.
Hi, Terry.
Glad to see you. Glad to see you, Mike. Hey, Ingrid. Been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Glad to see you, Terry. It's been a while.
Now, of course, you know, because I think you were copied on the text messaging, Jesse, that Don won't be here. Okay.
I'm looking for Lucas, Ledesma, Stollard, Matt.
Yep. I'm admitting Hope as we speak.
All right. Yay, Hope.
Hello, Hope.
Hey.
I missed the Christmas tree behind you. Got to put it back up. Yeah.
I should have left it up and just put on, you know, winter decorations.
There you go. Hello, Alan.
Mine's still up. I just can't bring myself to take it down.
No, I understand.
My husband was quarantined over the holidays, so I only kind of halfway put anything up because I was the only one that saw it.
We forewent the exterior lights and decorations. We did the inside pretty nice. It was just for us. We were being selfish this Christmas. And I just used that as an excuse so I didn't have to get on the ladder when it was raining.
Yay.
Yeah, we still have our outdoor Christmas lights up and running, so we're the only ones in town, I think.
Oh, there's a couple on my street.
Okay.
The hardcore.
Come on, team.
My street, we made a luminary. Someone took our entire block and put light candles every 10 feet for an entire block. And we had a block party that was visually separated. It was kind of coming together. It was
very fun. Nice.
Nice.
Welcome, Kyle, Matt, and Michael.
Matt's here. Yay.
I believe we're getting Chris joining here.
Great.
Oh, Jose or Terry, before we begin, for next Monday, what's the holiday schedule like over at Yolo Bus?
I appreciate that question. We can, we'll get into that if you'd like a little bit during the public comment period, but basically it is a holiday. And so it's a non-express, holiday. Everything that's running will be running as a Sunday service, and we can clarify that. We will be clarifying that with a posting on our website tomorrow morning, just to let folks know which services exactly will be in operation.
Okay. Regional Transit's entire network will be on a Sunday schedule on Monday.
That's about right for us as well.
It would be great if you could share that during public comment. And in about a minute, we can you can mute our mics. Thank you. All right. Got Ledesma.
Lucas.
Got Lucas.
Lucas.
Is that it? Is Tom in yet?
I don't believe so. I am monitoring the participants list to see if anyone needs to be admitted in. I'm not seeing anyone else right now.
So do we need Tom for quorum, correct?
Correct. No. With yourself, Lucas, and Chris, we have a quorum.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask everyone to mute their mics for now, and I'm going to call to order the meeting for Monday, January 11th, 2021 for Yolo Bus, and welcome everyone. Determination of a quorum. Do you want to do that formally in the meeting, Jose?
Yes, we can do a quick roll call. City of Davis.
Here.
And City of Winters.
Here.
City of West Sacramento.
Here.
City of Woodland. I do not have a participant, and County of Yolo. I do not have a participation for Yolo County.
And Jose, right, maybe you should introduce Nick, the new Caltrans rep on our board.
Yeah, I'd be pleased to. It's my pleasure, Madam Chair, members of the board, to introduce our new Caltrans representative, Nick Hernandez. He's able to join us this evening. It's his first meeting with us as a board director. And we are very appreciative of his assistance. I did have a brief opportunity to chat with him today to go over very briefly some of the backgrounds on some of the key projects that we're going to be discussing tonight and moving forward to try and help him get a little bit in the loop. I know by no means did I give you everything, Nick, but I did my best. And, you know, any questions that come up, we're happy to address them and have follow-up conversations. And we very much are looking forward to you, your participation and your engagement as we move forward to make our district the best it can be.
Welcome, Nick. All right, we're moving to item number two. If there are no changes from the directors, I'm looking for a motion to approve the agenda for January 11th.
Move as submitted.
Moved by Lucas.
Seconded by Ledesma.
Seconded by Ledesma. All in favor? Roll call vote.
City of Davis.
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Woodland? Not available. City and County of Yolo? No participating.
Unanimous, that's present. All right, moving on to the public comment. We'll be using the 3-minute timer. Comments from the public. And before you have a public comment, I just want to offer an opportunity for Deputy Director to explain any participation instructions that might be needed tonight. Jose.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So pursuant to Governor's Executive Order N-2920, this meeting is being conducted as a teleconference under the Zoom platform. It authorizes our local legislative bodies to hold public meetings via these teleconference mechanisms and to make public meetings accessible telephonically or otherwise electronically to all members of the public. As a quick reminder, while we may all be familiar with one another's voices and faces, if you have that capability on your platform, we do ask that you introduce yourself prior to addressing the board. Other directors may address the chair by grabbing her attention. We are also monitoring the typing or chat function of this teleconference platform. Should there be any comments or desires to be to submit comment without audio capabilities. Otherwise, we do ask that all persons wishing to make a comment from the public click the raise hand button, which should be as part of the, it's either going to be at the top or the bottom of your screen, which would identify to us that you wish to make a comment on a specific item. And if you are participating via phone, please dial *9 to in order to raise your hand for the host, and then we will address the chair at the appropriate time to solicit your feedback and your comments. So,
thank you. The chair recognizes Mike Barnum. You have Barnbaum. You have 3 minutes.
Good evening. Thank you, Chair Lauren, members of the Yolo County Transportation District Board and staff. Happy New Year. This is Mike Barnbaum. As you know, the Yolo County Transportation District, along with the Sacramento Regional Transit District, have what is called a 2x2. And they sit and discuss a variety of issues in common with each transit agency. The 2020 elections that have just come and passed us have and will change some of the makeup of things as we go further into 2021. For example, in the city of Elk Grove, where member Patrick Hume has been a member of the Regional Transit Board and his alternate is Stephen Dietrich. Well, Stephen did not run for re-election. So Mayor Bobby Singh Allen appointed as alternate for that city to the Regional Transit Board, Stephanie Wynn. And there have also been election changes in the city of Sacramento that affect the membership on the Regional Transit Board. In March, by just a very slim 51% majority, Katie Valenzuela defeated incumbent Steve Hansen, who was the 2020 chair of the Regional Transit Board. Well, as a result, because Steve Hansen, along with incoming chair of the RT board, Steve Miller of the city of Citrus Heights, were the two sitting members on the YOLO SAC-RT 2x2, there will be a change on the Regional Transit Board. It is being recommended at tomorrow's city council meeting that Katie Valenzuela be appointed by Mayor Steinberg in appointments to regional boards and commissions, including the Regional Transit Board. The first Regional Transit Board meeting is January 25th at 5:30 p.m. There was no meeting tonight. We hope to see who will be on that RT board in the Zoom or YouTube on the 25th at 5:30. But again, in the meantime, and I'll end with this, and that question again is, what is the schedule that YOLO Bus will be running on Monday, January 18th, Dr. Martin Luther King Day observed. The Sacramento Regional Transit District will be observing this day as a Sunday holiday schedule. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Molly DiAgostino. Your mic is off.
Yep. Hi. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. So I submitted an application to join the Citizen Advisory Committee, and I was told if it might be nice to introduce myself to the board. So if you, as you review my application, you can associate my name with my face. And so I am interested in serving on the Citizen Advisory Committee, partly because of my commitment to working in the transportation sector. Right now I work for UC Davis at the Institute of Transportation Studies, as well as the Policy Institute for Energy, Environment, and the Economy. And my focus there is on transportation. I lead a policy initiative that's associated with the three revolutions, which we associate with automation, shared mobility, and electrification. And I have a number of relevant transit relevant projects that I'm working on, research projects, one of which is funded by Caltrans to study payment integration across transit operators, working with the Caltrans and CalSTA Cal ITP program. I'm also working on another project that is really being led by UCLA and UC Berkeley, but we're playing a role as well, focusing on the COVID response to transit's COVID response to the COVID pandemic. So that's a couple of projects I shared in my application. I also have a background as an assistant transportation planner at the Alameda County Transportation Commission, where I lived in Oakland for about 12 years. And so I've only recently moved to, somewhat recently moved to the area about 4 years ago. So I live in Woodland. And so I'm interested in serving in that Woodland seat or as an at-large participant. I'm flexible. So love to hear what your thoughts are. And thank you again for hearing my comment.
Thank you. And nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah. You could put your hand down. The chair recognizes Alan Hirsch.
Hi, Alan Hirsch. Two brief comments. One is I noticed there's an opening on the Yolo County Transportation Commission, Advisory Commission, and it's appointed by the Yolo Bus Board. So you may want to flag that. Maybe there's other good candidates, or maybe there's an overlap with the CAC, but I think that would be a good place to go because we ever hope a lot of counties have an extra a sales tax that's earmarked for transportation, and that could be earmarked partly fund more Yolo Bus because that's an opportunity there to do that. That's the advisory board would be a place where that would go through. The second comment is the CAC recruiting thing is wonderful. I love the outreach. We're doing some great things. We're getting some new active members. I was impressed by the CAC meeting last week. But of the way this is framed, 2/3 of the page talks about minority and other representation, and it sends a message that if you're not on this list, don't bother to apply. And I don't think that's the message we want to take. I think we should definitely have a bias toward underrepresented in minority groups. That's very important. But I'm wondering in the marketing whether you want to lead with that particular foot. So I hope those are positive comments. Thank you very much for all you're doing. I'm impressed where the Yellow Bus is going.
Thank you, Alan. I do not see any other hands raised.
Correct, and we don't have any other comments requested in the chat. And if I may, Madam Chair, address the comment regarding the schedule for the upcoming holiday. So Yolo Bus will be operating what we call our non-express holiday. Effectively, that means express services, commute services that operate between inner cities, Woodlands to Sacramento or Davis to Sacramento, et cetera, will not be in service on Monday in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. However, our local routes, including the routes 42 A and B and the routes 215, will remain in their current COVID schedule services. So there won't be any reductions in the local currently implemented schedules.
And did you want to say anything about the reason that we had the changes in the CAC, that we have representation from every city, but that we wanted to add kind of a broad spectrum of other needs besides being from a city?
Yes. So our board and our CAC both recommended and approved an expansion of our Citizens Advisory Committee committee in the summer of 2020 for exactly that purpose, Madam Chair, to expand opportunities for other transit dependent populations, demographics, beyond just those representing a specific jurisdiction. And so we presented a list of potential key demographics or target audiences, but by no means is it limited to that list. And apologies if it comes across as that way, as, you know, pick one and forever hold your peace. It was really meant to emphasize how our committee is intending to expand its options, expand the availability to participants, and not lock folks in because of anything that is outside of their control, such as where they end up living or working, but rather having them be eligible to participate because, again, they may be a transit rider, part of a different transit-dependent population or group or advocacy, et cetera.
Thank you, Jose. Moving on to the consent calendar, would you like to present the consent calendar?
Yes, Madam Chair. On consent today, we have approval of the minutes from our December 14th board meeting, as well as formalization of appointment of Patrick Guild to be the West Sacramento representative on our Citizens Advisory Committee, nominated under Director Ledesma. And those are the two items on our consent calendar.
Looking for a motion to approve, unless anybody would like to address. Lucas?
The consent calendar as submitted for Everett by Frerichs.
Second by Ledesma.
All right. Moved by Frerichs, seconded by Ledesma. Roll call vote, please.
City of Davis.
Aye.
City of West Sacramento.
Aye.
City of Winters.
Aye.
City of Woodland. No representative. And County of Yolo.
Unanimous attendance. Moving on to the regular calendar item. Before I move on to the regular calendar, I wanted to not put anybody on the spot, but Chris, Director Ledesma, if you wanted to say anything about your very wonderful gentleman that's joining us.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity, and I didn't want to interrupt you. But yes, I think Patrick might be on the phone, but that's okay. I spoke with him last year, and I deeply appreciate his commitment to West Sacramento, his interest in transit and mobility. As a West Sacramento resident, he has seen firsthand, understands our issues, and kind of will represent us well. But most importantly, he's just his enthusiasm to be involved in transportation for a number of reasons, and he certainly has a passion for it. So we welcome him and look forward to his leadership on that commission.
Very awesome. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the work that you do outside of, you know, being a director and everything else you do, doing public outreach for this position. Thank you very much. I know that Patrick is on the line on a phone call. I didn't know if he wanted to say anything. Otherwise, we will move on. All right. We'll move. Yes. Patrick, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words. I'm really excited to be here and looking forward to getting started. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. All right, moving on to item number 5, board member reports, announcements, other nominations, and presentations. Do we have any tonight? All right, seeing none, moving to item 6 is the grant continued emergency authority to executive director or his designee through March 31st. And
I've got this one.
Go ahead.
Normally we put this on the consent calendar every other month, and this grants continued emergency authority of the executive director to undertake activities to address services and schedules and expenses in light of the COVID-19 situation. I took it off the consent calendar and put it on the regular calendar simply because I want to bring to your attention that a key component that we will be working on will be working with the Yokodahi Winton Nation and the Cache Creek Casino Resort in the County of Yolo negotiate and finalize service changes as well as budgetary changes between YCTD and those other entities. So the staff recommendation is still to grant a 2-month extension of my authority, which would take me from February 1, 2021 through March 31, 2021. But I also wanted to bring to your attention, if Jose could scroll down a little bit, what you see before you is what we're intending to initiate effective February 1st. Yes, it is without a hearing, but we've done a lot of other service changes during COVID without hearings. It's not our intention to avoid hearings forever. At some point, we will be having a hearing on all of our service changes as we get out of the COVID situation. But for the Cache Creek Casino Resort, what we've worked out tentatively is an agreement at the senior staff level that we would go down from 17 trips a day, round trips a day, to 12 round trips a day. And that's what you see before you to show you which trips will be eliminated. Three of the 5 reduced round trips a day are simply doubled up trips where we were running one bus 10 minutes behind the other. So 3 of those are representing those red, are represented by those red columns. And then the very first column, if Jose could move the little hand over there, Come on, there we go. That would disappear, that first round trip, which starts at 4:56 in the morning. Boy, my eyes are bad. And then at the end of the day, we have a 10:55 p.m. trip starting from Woodland and ending back in Woodland. So in addition to those three round trips a day that were doubled up, we're going to be getting rid of two other round trips, one at the beginning of the day and one near the end of the day. We met several times with the casino representative, and he's in agreement that this is accurate in terms of what we worked out. So I just wanted you to be aware of that and the fact that we will be putting together some proposed terms and conditions, as well as the good news is the county wants us to actually consider being a party via an MOU or an agreement or an amendment or whatever, so that YCTD is actually a signator to the county tribe intergovernmental agreement. That is good, because in years past, we were a benefactor. We were mentioned in the agreement, but there were no teeth against the district in terms of what it had to or didn't have to do. This would lay out the terms and conditions in a much better manner, which will help us in having a better understanding of what our relationships are. And having said that, I'm working on a narrative amendment that'll address that, but will also include mechanisms that'll allow us to reinstate service as time moves on. I should point out that we were supposed to add two more round trips a day before COVID as a result of the casino and event center expansion. But those, at least temporarily, have been placed on the wayside. Maybe they'll be introduced if demand starts shooting up again. I should mention that ridership on the Route 215 is about 60% of what it used to be pre-COVID. And that's what prompted the tribe and the casino to approach us about reducing the level of service to reflect ridership levels. So that's all I wanted to show on this, but I wanted you to know why I wanted this, you know, discussed as opposed to just thrown on the consent calendar.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate your diligence. Do the directors have clarifying questions or comments on this item? I will open it up to public comment. If you can use the raise your hand feature if you have a question. Seeing none. I don't have any problem with extending this. I think it's important. We're still in a fluid situation, but I'll be looking for a motion.
I'm sorry, there was action recommended.
Yeah,
I apologize. An action
item.
Yeah, there is. And I concur, Chair Lauren, that, you know, the 3 months is appropriate. I think we started the whole exercise just under a year ago. I think hoping it was only be 3 months. We'll keep optimistic and say that's all we need it for. But, with that, I'll make a motion that it is necessary. I'll make a motion on the recommended action.
And I'm fine to second the item, but I do have a comment or two, Madam Chair.
Please comment.
Yeah, I just think, I think it, so I'm fine moving forward this evening. I think, and I understand the need for sort of the ability for, flexible response by staff. I would say that I feel like, I think when these emergency sort of authorizations were granted for in most of our agencies, you know, almost a year ago at this point, originally authorized, you know, we were all new to virtual meetings and, you know, right. There was just so it was a little bit more difficult to get folks together and call meetings and such. So I feel like I'm fine with moving forward for an additional 2 month extension, but I feel like it's, I think, we're probably at a point where, a meetings can be called, especially with the governor's executive order, as well, allowing for bodies to meet almost at the drop of a hat. So I feel like we, should consider, after maybe this extension, not, you know, really, really having a good discussion at the sort of the year mark of, you know, whether or not there's an additional need for the sort of emergency authorization. But I'm happy to support the motion.
There's an open motion on the floor. I would just like to add to the comments that are actually a bit of a clarifying question that Terry, the chair and the vice chair would be kind of roped into the meetings, if you will, that have to do with the casino, or is that something that's that we should expect to happen?
Definitely, Madam Chair. That is part of the recommendation that it's in consultation with the chair and vice chair as we move forward.
And Joe Bolte, I see that your hand is up, but we do have an open motion. Let's go ahead and hear your comment.
I just want to say that I agree with Director Frerichs that we should embrace the online component of meetings, even in the eventuality that we have the option of meeting together in person safely, and maybe even hugging each other in those meetings. There should always be an online component for folks to call in, to get online and make their voices heard. So if there's a narrow question about whether YCTD can hold appropriate public hearings, whether we have the capability to do that, I encourage staff to explore that. We know we're gonna need widespread outreach for the upcoming, you know, YOLO Go hearings and figuring out what to do there. So let's attack this challenge head on if we can. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. There's a motion on the floor, but I would like the notes to reflect that the public is enthusiastic about continuing having online meetings or an online component to meetings. With that said, roll call vote.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
And City of Winters?
Aye. Unanimous in present. Item number 7, presentation of the 2019-20 fiscal audit. I think it's Ingrid. And
Yes. I think you wanted to start off.
I was just going to introduce Ingrid Scheiplein, who is a managing partner with Richardson Company, and they conducted our audit in record time this year. I was really pleased. It was a good opportunity, and I'd like to turn it over now to Ingrid so she can present our financial statements.
Okay, thank you. So I was the partner this year on the engagement because we were required to do a partner rotation by state requirements. So Brian's still with our firm, but we did the mandatory rotation of partners that's required now every 6 years. So that's the reason for me being here. So this outline is basically a one-page summary of the audit results that I'd like to just walk through and kind of highlight some of the items in this outline. And if you have questions during the presentation, please feel free to stop me if you can grab my attention, and we can address any questions that you have. So the first item just lists out the various reports that we issued, all of which are in your packet that I'll highlight today. The first document is the audited financial statements, which contains the independent auditor's report. I don't know if Jose is going to try to turn to that.
Yeah, one moment.
Document.
This is the correct document, Ingrid?
Yes, it is.
Great. And just please tell me which page, and I'll scroll to that.
Sure. Page 1. Yeah, right here. This is our audit report on the financial statements of the district. This is considered a clean or unmodified opinion on the financial statements, stating that they're fairly presented in accordance with governmental accounting principles. Next, I'm going to skip over to page 10. The pages that I'm skipping over are actually a good overview. It's management discussion analysis of the changes that occurred between fiscal years. So it's a good summary to read to see what transpired or what changes occurred during the year. I'm going to highlight some of those during the presentation. So I'm going to start actually at the bottom portion of that page. Net position is basically the equity of the organization and reserves. You can see that $25 million of your equity is basically tied up in your infrastructure, your equipment, your buses, and then the remainder are funds that are available for future use. So you can see the unrestricted net position of $8.6 million. That's basically the reserves that you have available for future use. And that's in addition to those couple of line items of restricted resources, mostly Transportation Development Act funding, that are restricted and available for capital purposes. So overall, your unrestricted reserves increased by $1.1 million during the year. One other item to point out on this page is your OPEB liability. So at the end of last fiscal year, you'll see that you had a slight liability of $74,000 up under the non-current liabilities. You had a new actuarial valuation done for this fiscal year 20. And so now it actually flip-flopped to the other side of the balance sheet and is showing up as an asset. So basically it's saying that the plan is slightly overfunded by the $144,000. But as you know, those actuarial valuations are based on a lot of estimates and assumptions, so that number can change from year to year. But at least at this point, it's showing that you are adequately funded. As you know, that there are contributions that you're making to the plan. So the fact that you actually have a well-funded plan is not typical for what you see with a lot of governments and maybe some of the jurisdictions that you represent where that could be a large number. The next page, page 11.
Although, actually, Ingrid, could you go back to the previous page?
Sure.
I just want to mention that the look at the investment in capital assets, it jumped pretty dramatically. That's because we bought 9 Gillig buses, plus the value of those 6 Proterra electric buses, and then 3 cutaway vehicles as well. So all of that value increased our capital asset value. So it was a significant set of procurements. And I should mention that the Proterra bus purchase, we're showing it in our books as an asset, as having value, but we didn't spend a penny buying those buses. That was paid for by Electrify America.
Right, and I'll show on the next page kind of how that comes onto your books as well. So I'm going to start with the first part of the page. You'll see a line item called net loss before capital contributions. So from basically a full accrual basis, it's showing a net loss of $2 million. However, that includes depreciation of $3.4 million, depreciation on the buses and your facilities. That's not a cash expense. So the fact that that's a negative number is really not anything to be concerned about, but just a function of the accrual basis of accounting. Then you'll see a section called capital contributions. Those amounts include grant revenues or other revenue sources that are used to fund the capital acquisitions. So you can see that you received $4.7 million of federal grant funds for the purchase of those Gillig buses that Terry mentioned. And then also you see the other capital revenue line item. So the donated, I guess you could say, buses are showing up as revenue, even though it's not a cash transaction. And then that's how those assets were brought onto your book. So there's about $4.6 million of buses that were purchased by Electrify America that are assets of the district and are showing up on your balance sheet. Some of the other changes you'll note on this page, the overall, the fare revenues are down due to COVID by about $600,000 compared to what they were in the previous year. However, there was CARES Act funding that was received to help offset that reduction and to cover your operating costs. And the amount of that funding, I believe, is about $1.2 million that's included in the non-operating revenue category. The next page to point out is the page 20 of that same document. And it's note G that discusses the fair revenue ratio. As a requirement of the Transportation Development Act, you're required to maintain a ratio of fair revenues to operating expenses of 15%. So even though you had a reduction of fares, you're still well above that minimum level. You'll see your ratio is 35.76%. So you're far in excess of the minimum 15% ratio, indicating basically the efficiency of your operations. The next page is to discuss, start on page 40. And these are various reports that are done to comply with various state and federal requirements. As a result of the federal grant funding that the district receives, we're required to do additional compliance auditing for both the federal requirements as well as Transportation Development Act requirements and then other state grant funding projects like low carbon funding. These reports are also clean reports, state that we noted no weaknesses in internal controls, and also that the district complied with all of those various requirements relative to the various funding that was received. If you turn to page 46, this gives you an idea of the level of federal grant funding. So that far right column shows $8.4 million of federal grant funds that were expended during the year. And, of course, this doesn't include the donated buses because that was not did not involve use of federal grant funds. But the $4.7 million were the purchase of the Gillig buses. And then other funding was used for preventive maintenance and other operating types of expenses. So overall, the $8.4 million is the federal grant funding that we tested for compliance and overall had a clean audit result there. The next document is the governance letter. This letter just covers various items that we're required to communicate to you. The first section covers areas where estimates are used. Some of the areas that affect the financial statements as far as use of estimates are the useful lives that you assign your assets, because that has an impact on the amount of depreciation that you record and the amount of expense. Also, the actuarial valuations that are used to develop the pension and the OPEB liabilities are also based on various assumptions and estimates that are used by the actuary. On the second page of this document, there's a section called corrected and uncorrected misstatements. We only had four adjustments or changes that we made to the district's records, and that's mainly just to assist with recording the pension and OPEB liability activity changes and reclassification entries. So we really had minimal audit adjustments. The district has very good accounting practices in place, so all of the transactions were accounted for properly that were subject to our audit. The audit, or this letter, also indicates that we had no difficulties in performing the audit. If we did, we would need to bring those to your attention. We did the audit entirely remotely this year. So Janice uploaded all of the documents that we needed for the audit. And then responded very timely to requests for information, mostly by email. So we do appreciate that, the timely response, so that we were able to complete the audit by the state deadline without having to ask for an extension. So we appreciate that assistance that she provided in keeping the process moving during the latter part of December. This letter also indicates that there were no unusual accounting practices. If there were any, we would need to bring those to your attention, but the district follows all of the accounting principles without any gray areas. The last document is the management letter. So this letter is designed to identify any items that we don't consider material weaknesses, but just other items where we noted recommendations for improvement. The comment that's in here is a recommendation about updating the purchasing policy. This was in last year's letter. That revision to the policy is currently in process and awaiting review and I assume being taken to the board as well. So it's in process. It's just recommending changes as a result of federal guideline changes that affect the purchasing policy and recommending that your policy be revised to reflect those changes. So no new recommendations or areas for improvement that we noted in this year's audit. So overall, good, clean audit. And so I'd like to open it up to any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Do the directors have questions?
Madam Chair, I don't have any questions, but I do appreciate walking through the entire report and calling out some of the changes and some of the especially on the financial statements or on the net position issue. I think that was one that was really curious to me, how we were going to deal with that. So, or how you would accept the buses from Electrify America. So, I really appreciate you pointing that out and walking us through it.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. Director Frerichs, did you have any comments?
No questions, but just a comment. Really appreciate the work and, you know, appreciate that, you know, this, we have seen these obviously on a pretty regular basis. And so appreciate seeing that there's not any major issues out there. And obviously you've got a few potential sort of policy updates that might be needed. But thank you again for all your hard work and preparing this for us. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have to say one of my favorite lines is we did not find any deficiencies. Control. I just really like to see that in a document like this.
Yes.
Ms. Bryan, did you want to say anything about Janice?
I just felt like it was a really good situation this year. I was a little nervous about going into it, you know, remotely, but as Ingrid said, we just went back and forth and I kept watching and they kept watching and everything I needed, they were there and vice versa. So, I felt really good about the process this year and and I really appreciate, I learn something new every year. I welcome our audits, and I do learn something every year and I appreciate the help that we get from our auditors.
Thank you. It was a very thorough job. Is there any public comment? I see Mike Barnbaum's hand up. So I will ask you, Mike, to proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lauren. So first of all, I do want to kind of follow through with everybody and just comment and say a very thorough and great report to hear this evening. And thank you for reminding all of us about the district receiving several months ago CARES Act funding to help with operations and service directly. On that note, I'm sure everybody knows there was another coronavirus relief package signed in December 2020. and I could understand in leading to my question if there was, if this is kind of more of a timing issue, if the report was done prior to the signature and approval of that package, but either to the auditor, to the chair, or Terry or Jose or Janice, do any of you know if the district is going to be a financial beneficiary of any portion of the December 2020 COVID relief package very recently signed into federal law? Thank you.
Through the chair, I can answer that very quickly.
Sure.
It's addressed very specifically in the executive director's report on item 11C. So if you want to get to it, then we can.
Oh, okay. Okay. Certainly, Executive Director Bassett, maybe you can address it more specifically then. Thank you for bringing that up.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for your hard work on this item. Moving to item 8. And we have Janice again.
Good evening again. This is just our regular little financial status update on revenues. So I'm just going to give you just a real quick update this evening. You can see there on the little chart what our budgeted revenues. These are through November. Budgeted revenues, our fares are looking still a little shabby. And remember, last month we did put through a budget amendment, and that is included in the budget, and actual is below that again. CARES funding, we still only have through, I will be drawing down second quarter here shortly in the next week or two, of CARES Act funding. We have, again, these are all the other items are the same as last month other than fare revenue. And you can see the difference between fixed route and paratransit. So that's it with fare revenue. On the second page, I show a chart with just projected revenues again to 630. We reduced our budget for fixed route to $893,959. And as you can see, we right now a simple projection, which we have some things that will increase as time goes on, but it still looks like there's going to be a shortfall at the end of the year. However, and that's in fixed route. In paratransit, it looks like right now it'll be about even. I'm not proposing that we do another budget amendment at this time. We're just going to still monitor the situation. We have CARES Act funds that will cover our shortfall. And generally speaking, our budgeted expenses are greater than what is actual. So I feel like we're going to be fine at this point. We'll continue to monitor it, and you'll get full on financial statements next month, and you'll see where we are up through December. So if you have any questions.
Do the directors have questions or comments? None at this time. Is there any public comment on this page?
None requested at this time on this item, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Janice, for your diligence and hard work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 9. This would be Kristen and Jose.
Yeah, Jose, do you want me to just take this one?
Yeah, and we're a team. I'll happily support Kristen as she presents on this staff report.
Sounds great. Good evening, Chair Loren and members of the board. I'm Kristen Major, the senior planner here at Yolo Bus. Today I'm going to talk about a planning effort that is pretty standard in the transit industry. Generally speaking, It's a best practice for transit operators to prepare a short-range transit plan approximately every 5 years or so. Our last one was prepared in 2014, so we are due to take that on again. And you may be thinking, but we're just finishing up this YOLO Go comprehensive operational analysis. There's things in the SRTP that are distinct from that and that we believe we should be updating around this time. So specifically, short-range transit plans generally include an overview of the transit system, some goals and performance measures, and then a service overview and evaluation. And then finally, a big part of it is looking at the agency's operating and capital financial plans across either a 5-year or a 10-year horizon. So making sure your expenses and your revenues are aligned in both the operating and the capital categories. As you know, we are wrapping up right now a very robust service overview and evaluation. So rather than repeating that, we will, in that sort of chapter of the report, just be summarizing what we learned in the COA. So that would leave these other components that we would be focusing on. Specifically, we would focus on the goals and performance measures portion of these reports. So establishing goals that are consistent with our newly adopted vision, values, and priorities. And then in addition to that, coming up with some key performance indicators or KPIs so that we can be evaluating whether we're meeting our goals that are in alignment with our values. And then retroactively looking back at the trends in the KPIs so that we can see how we've been doing in the past 5 years. And then from there, we can continue monitoring our performance and hopefully we'll be, on the upward trend. And then, like I said, the operating plans and the capital plans are a big component of it. So what you do is you forecast out your revenues for a 10-year period and your expenses for a 10-year period, and you make sure that those are fiscally constrained. And then finally, the last part that we never want to leave out of any planning effort, of course, is customer feedback. We have been doing a lot of outreach and customer input through the COA or the YOLO Go effort. So we want to make sure we're not introducing sort of public input fatigue from our customers and our riders. So we'll be very careful when we do customer service or customer outreach to make sure that we're asking new or different questions or things that are specific to the short range transit plan. We also do, if it's safe by the time we get to this point in the planning effort, we want to do an onboard survey because we haven't been able to do one of those in a while due to COVID, and that will help make sure we're reaching people who maybe haven't been able to give us input because they weren't connected to us during COVID or because of the digital divide. So in the past, we have used either a consultant or the last time around, we used SACOG staff to prepare the short-range transit plan for us. Because SACOG staff doesn't have availability to help with it this time around, and because of our own limited financial resources, we're proposing to just take on the SRTP planning work in-house. We think we have the capability to do it, especially since the very kind of time-consuming aspects of the report, which are like usually the service overview and evaluation, which was done through the COA, since we don't need to redo that effort. We think we can handle it in-house. So we would start this after the COA implementation is complete, and we think it would take approximately 9 to 12 months. That's my presentation, and I can answer any questions if you have any.
Questions or comments from the directors?
All right, I do. Chair Lauren? Sure. And I appreciate kind of going over, I remember kind of having, I was there when we did the last one or updated it, but I'm trying to just understand sort of what the, because we are doing the COA YOLO Go at the same time. So I'm trying to understand, it seems like much of this is going to be pulled from the COA. And I guess I'm just trying to understand what's the goal of this document.
So So Jose, one of the things, and correct me if this isn't what you feel, Jose and Terry, I would say that with the COA, we're kind of trying to find out how to get more riders and how can we adjust our services to meet changing demand. But from there, we're getting a lot of questions from the jurisdictions about, well, what is the cost going to be? And do we have the financial resources to cover these costs? And so the 10-year financial plans in the capital and operating category would be sort of making sure that the costs that we anticipate that we have the revenues to cover it. And it would help make sure that we're planning for our capital needs properly so that we have a clear idea of what we can and cannot afford to go out for in terms of grants. You know, we want to make sure that we have a plan for our fleet replacement schedule for the next 10 years and equipment replacement. And then I think the goals and metrics could be a useful way to build upon the work in the COA. I know in the COA, we are talking about setting up some trigger metrics for if ridership falls below a certain point, do we need to cut service? Or if it goes above a certain point, do we need to increase service? So I'm not sure how much we'll be able to get into that through the COA, but through this SRTP, we could build upon that work.
And thank you, Kristen. And I think one other point to kind of help clear the differences between these two studies and projects. The YOLOGO project evolved into being more of a blueprint and a guiding document to make sure that we are incorporating our values, visions, and priorities as a district moving forward. It also allowed us an opportunity to present some kind of specific recommendations and service mode strategies. It will also, YOLOGO will also include, for the benefit of our district and our public, some details about how it is to be budgeted, operated, et cetera. The distinction comes in that short range transit plan that it details it on a much more, on a narrower horizon. And it really is intended to focus on some of those operational efficiencies and as Kristen mentioned, making sure that our funding projections, our budget projections, and our capital planning are in line with one another and take into account some things that we know are coming down in the future. For example, making sure that we start incorporating and how quickly we can incorporate zero emission vehicles, environmental considerations within our operations. YOLOGO also was aimed to originally have been completed in early 2020. COVID-19 shook that up. And so there is a little bit of a delay between where we intended to have some of the more near or immediate impacts and service accommodations from YOLOGO in 2020 are rolling into now where our current existing short range transit plan is expiring, for lack of a better word. There isn't a hard deadline or expiration. But in the past, the FTA, the Federal Transportation Administration, as well as Caltrans, who oversees the TDA, does require these formal adopted studies and plans in order to continue.
I think that's what I'm. I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's don't bury the lead, Jose, as a journalist. That's what I need to hear is, and I think if we need one of these to sort of be prepared for funding opportunities or whatever, I think that's okay to say that, right? Because I know the COA is really around how we plan, just what it is, fixed routes and, scheduling and trying to make efficient by how we run and operate. But this is more around as a district, how are we situated for the next apparently 10-year horizon? So I know we formally need one, and it's probably a good idea too. And I'm glad you're thinking about leveraging. It seems like we're doing this already, and I want to ask, what are we doing? What is this different for? And I would say that I'm sorry, how long do we think this might take to complete?
No more than 9 to 12 months, and that's again doing it internally in house with the added benefit of having some of that recent ride check and performance data and information from the YOLOGO project. That's one of the reasons why we were considering bringing this in this time frame, even though we haven't wrapped up YOLOGO, to make sure that data doesn't get stale and still is valid in our assessment for the short range plan.
Okay.
Right. And I would agree. Right. And I think we also, we also have that. And we also have asked for, from the executive director, a 3-year kind of projected budget on how we look. And I don't think the exercise is a bad one, given that we now are a year into COVID. And as Janice brought up earlier in a financial review, this year will be interesting to see how it all turns out. So it's less about looking back and how KPIs look, because I suspect it's been, any KPIs we would want to put in place, increasing ridership, we're firmly sure we're not in total control of that at the moment. So, but again, it's worth looking forward to and getting into place to see really as a district where we are. And I think ultimately we have a new administration coming in, one that will probably be very transit friendly at the federal level, and really focus on infrastructure. And I think if we're in a position at the end of this to be ready to submit for funding opportunities, we should be. So I support it for that reason alone.
Thank you for your comments. Really appreciate it, Director. Lucas?
Yeah, I do have a quick question for Kristen, which is just, Chris was asking it, starting getting it, some of it, but I was, so when, yes, I get the time frame of when this is supposed to begin, sort of once the YOLO Go effort concludes and I believe is implemented. When are we expecting the YOLO Go effort to be either completed / adopted / implemented?
The current timeline, we can go into it a little bit in the next item, but the current timeline is to have the YOLO Go study adopted and ready to begin implementing no later than April of this year. Okay. And so we would aim for, realistically, without artificially constraining the timeline, implementation at this stage at the beginning of the next fiscal year, so in July.
Got it. Okay, thanks. Unless I'm missing it in the next item, I don't see those dates. I guess, maybe there is a chart further down in here. No, I'm still not seeing it yet. So yeah, anyway, but thank you. That's really helpful. That helps sort of give me a sense of just when we might see, I think I'm fine with moving ahead, sort of authorizing this to occur. I think that we will, the real work of it, the work that's not going to be sort of taken from the YOLO Go effort, which I think is a smart move for us to do, will sort of really kick off in earnest, I would assume, then starting essentially in July.
That's fair, and that's correct. That's currently aligned with our planning timeline.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Lucas. Appreciate it. My comments kind of go back to the beginning of our meeting. In the beginning of our meeting, I want to thank you, Kristen. That was really, this is important stuff. In the beginning of our meeting, we extended our emergency authorization. And it seems like it's, in the beginning, we thought that we would only do that once and it would be 3 months and we would be back to normal. And wow, a year went by almost, and we're kind of surprised by that. So with that in the background, I want to say that I think that the way that we look forward isn't binary, but I think it often projects itself as binary, as we're either gonna return back to normal or we have a new normal. Well, I don't think the answer is binary, but I think we really have to take into consideration that what we learned 5 years ago is different than what we've learned in this last year. And I hope that we really look at those changes and look at the finances. And I don't know what the new administration will bring with transportation, but I'm hoping that is part of what you look at is what opportunities we will have with a new administration, as Lucas brought up so eloquently. Any other comments from the directors?
All right, I will open it up for public comment, and I see Alan Hirsch's hand raised. Alan, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. I think Kristen is right on in what she's proposing, focusing around key performance indicators. I think this is what you need to do. This makes would make the YOLO Go program a living document. And so I think if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So defining some key performance measures that we will track on a regular basis, I think is really important. And maybe you might want to start with the vision, values, and priorities. If you can quantify those as best you can, that might be a really good place to start. And also start quantifying some of the performance measures, such as maybe ridership per capita and how that's changing over time, ridership for cities, ridership for express buses, local buses. Put those together and put some – there's probably a whole lot of – you guys know better – you guys that do this thing, you know better what really works for you guys, perform what you're trying to work on. So putting some performance measures will basically focus your staff and also tell the board how you're doing. The second thing is MIGO, my eyes glaze over. A wall of numbers is really hard thing. And I know the board has lots and lots of responsibilities, doesn't have time to go deep. And let me be critical here. You just presented this financial report and you weren't asking any deep questions about the numbers because no one can digest so many numbers. So we need to boil down some of these numbers into graphs and charts, some history so you can see trends quickly. That's really important. I think you can start building those tools with the short range transit plan and you update it on an annual basis to show these graphs. So when you present a financial report, you actually put some of the new numbers in and you can see where you're going, where it's been. It might help the board to digest things quickly and flag things ahead of time for trends. Again, Kristen's doing right the exact job. I think this is what needs to be done. I think the next step is actually present a list of performance indicators to have the board select which ones they'd like, which ones they'd like to add. That might be kind of a next step to the process before you kick it off. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your comments. And I did want to reiterate Director Ledesma's comment about the projected budget. You know, it's something that we've been asking for since October, something that we think is important, and I'm glad that you are going to incorporate that. Thank you for that. Any other comments from the directors?
Madam Chair, I would like to note that Director Stoller was able to join us a minute ago.
Welcome, yes. Director Stoller.
Apologies, Chair Lauren and members. I'm afraid I absolutely forgot the meeting. I've been on city business since 7:30 this morning, as you know, as you have too.
Yeah.
I just forgot, so I apologize. I would get Monday nights in my patterns in the future. Apologies.
I should have reminded you when we had a meeting this at 12 today. I forgot. All right. Well, I believe that unless you have any comments on the item, this is item number 9, the discussing the – am I right? Yeah.
Yeah. No comments.
Yeah. Did you have any – okay. Moving on to item number 10.
Madam Chair, we did have one more request on this item from Joe Wolfie.
Joe, your hand wasn't up a second ago. Recognizing.
Yeah, I raised it late. Apologies. I just want to say I agree with a lot of what was been said on the last item. Great job, Kristen. I agree with Director Frerich's comments as well as those of Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Thank you so very much. Seeing no other hands raised, let's go to the update on the COA. Item number 10.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, always a pleasure to present to the board. This item is primarily an update. Again, our plan is to provide a staff to provide our board and the public with updates every month at a minimum on the YOLO Go project. And so this is updating the board from the December presentation. And I apologize for not repeating or pacing in again the graphic indicating the timeline for this project to reach its final conclusion, the end of the beginning again. and I can do so moving forward just so that we're all kept apprised or reminded of, again, the timeline for this project. The most significant aspects that I'd like to update the board on as far as activities with respect to the YOLO Go project from the last time we met is staff's coordination and meeting with some of our member jurisdictions, City of Woodland and City of West Sacramento staff, as well as coordinating with the Dan Boyle and Associates team, who is leading the development of the YOLO Go project, to refine and further plan out the final phase of public outreach and feedback on the recommendations which were presented in draft format to the board in December. So we did present the same recommendations to the Citizens Advisory Committee meeting committee on January 4th of 2021. We had planned to present that as well to the TAC, but we're unable to do so. And we are planning on meeting with both the CAC, the Citizens Advisory Committee again, and the Technical Advisory Committee meeting both on February 1st, which is that first Monday of the month, to present updates at that point to date on the ongoing outreach. One of the adjustments and revisions that we made, that our team made to the recommendations after the December meeting was to update the recommendations for some of our express service, most specifically the reintroduction of Route 43R, the R standing for reverse commute. And we are able to reintroduce that service without requiring additional vehicles or significant operating resources, because again, it primarily ends up being a single bus that does the quote unquote return commute, being available for revenue service as it either resets or heads back to end its service for the morning or the afternoon.
And Director Frericks, I did not want us to abandon that route because it will be the only direct shot for Sacramentans to get to the UC Davis campus. So it was not that big of an ask to implement. That's why we recommended it.
Right. Along that path in Sacramento, there does still exist and will exist the Causeway Connection service, but they have slightly different paths. So, but we did want to make sure that we did accommodate those commuters. We did have a few regular users of the reverse commute service prior to COVID, and the demand is there because of the basically nominal resources needed to reintroduce it. That is something that we're focusing on. So as an update or description of what the planned outreach is, we are working with the Dan Boyle team and AIM, who is the subconsultant that is leading the outreach, to launch a virtual workshop this Thursday. What that workshop really is composed of is a self-guided tour, a virtual tour online for members of the public or anybody interested to be able to go through, look at the recommendations, I look at the graphics and the maps, the proposed alignments, highlights in the changes from what is in service today versus what we are proposing, as well as a survey at the end of that workshop to be able to solicit guided feedback. We are also very aware that through conversations with our member jurisdictions that we needed to have at least a couple of opportunities for open-ended suggestions, comments, and feedback. So while we do have some survey questions that are asking us to refine the recommendations, there are opportunities for introduction of novel ideas or suggestions or refinement. We heard that loud and clear, and we are making sure that we're incorporating that and giving ourselves enough time to incorporate those meaningful comments within the study itself. We are also presenting, I'll be presenting the COA, the YOLOGO recommendations to City of Davis. I forget the actual name of the committee, the Bicycle Transportation, I apologize, the BTSSC, I think, committee.
Yes. You're good.
As well as the Unitrans committee, we were invited to present there, and we're open to those similar committees and presentations to give focused discussion and opportunities for that feedback to stakeholders or other agencies that are willing to receive it. We have expanded our ability to receive public comment. I know we've heard from in recent months, not just from our board, but from the public themselves, that making sure opportunity to provide the feedback is available. And so we're doing, I believe, everything that we possibly can in our power to be able to obtain and incorporate that feedback. So not only will this virtual workshop exist online at the pace that the user wishes, we are also able to offer printed versions of the recommendations and graphics. We will be making available to anybody interested hard copies mailed to them along with business supply envelopes and comment cards so that they can return to us their feedback in hard copy form. We are planning, and I will conduct training to have our staff at YCTD available to receive phone calls during regular business hours and utilize, if necessary, a live translation service that can translate us phone calls to over 250 languages. That's through an in-place mechanism that we already have. We're also going to be accepting, while keeping in mind health and safety requirements and best practices, our customer service counter to receive that same feedback. We can provide hard copies of the recommendations and graphics to anyone who visits us in person and provide them, again, hard copy mechanisms to provide that feedback. We're advertising the workshop through a number of methods, including our website. We will be asking in a more formal email to our partners and member jurisdictions to help us distribute those links. We'll be advertising inside all of our vehicles, inside our customer service office. We'll be working with social service groups and agencies who have already expressed the willingness to help us spread the word and promote it, including city halls, libraries, et cetera. We really want to make sure that we aren't faulted or miss anybody. And to that end, we are more than welcome to receive feedback as our public outreach timeline is ongoing. It currently is being planned to have be open from January 14th, which is this Thursday, through at least February 4th of 2021, a full 3 weeks. And we plan on presenting summaries of the feedback received to date to the board during the February meeting, as well as to, as I mentioned earlier, our Citizens Advisory Committee and Technical Advisory Committee on February 1st. So with that, one last note is, again, with this final phase of public outreach being planned to conclude on or around February 4th, or no earlier than February 4th, we do expect to be able to incorporate that feedback, finalize and develop the necessary key performance indicators, trigger metrics, refinements to those recommendations, initial budgets and operating planning scenarios within the YOLOGO document for consideration during the March board meeting. And then ideally no later than April of this year, we would be presenting a final document for the board's consideration and approval, which would be in line with our timeline to then begin developing the necessary implementation steps to get the recommendations that do end up being adopted, if any, for implementation in July of 2021.
Thank you very much, Jose. I'm really excited about this. It's very exciting for our organization. Do the directors have comments or questions at this time? Seeing none, I will move to public comment. Mike Barnum, Barnbaum.
Yes, thank you, Chair Lauren and everyone. So I wanted to make some clarifying comments and ask some clarifying questions after reading the report this weekend. There was a mention about how the 42A and 42B would go to 30-minute service in two phases. Upon implementation, the peak hour 30-minute frequency, and then if ridership gets to a certain trigger or threshold, I believe it was the pre-pandemic ridership levels, then it would go to a weekday 30-minute service all day. So one thing I wanted to perhaps put in the hopper is a clarification of definition of peak hours, and just maybe for purposes of discussion and consensus at this evening's online meeting, I'd like to put on the table, if you don't mind, that weekday peak hours would be, if you use the current or the pre-pandemic schedule for this route, that the peak hours would be 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. I don't know if you'd be open to that. I'm certainly open to discussion and debate on that. Then I wanted to get some clarifying comments and questions on with through routing in downtown Sacramento. So would the new layover for these routes be the West Sacramento Transit Center or the County Fair Mall in Woodland? Would the routing in Davis for streamlining purposes be to take the bus off at Mace Boulevard, Alhambra, and then Fifth all the way to the university, and then up 5th to Anderson to Covell to 113, heading to Woodland, and then vice versa in the other direction. And then the other thing, I'm glad to see somewhere in one of the charts that trips that are currently on hold because of COVID are looking to be restored more in a post-pandemic environment. And I'm glad to see that the Dan Boyle and Associates team and staff are really looking to focus on that and bring some of our regular services back to full strength, much like RT did in their service area back at the end of August of last year.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Oh, sorry. One last question. Can members of the public or stakeholders, even if they don't ride, come to the office and get hard copies if they want hard copies, but send an email or correspondence in advance so that staff knows what day and time that they'll be coming? Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to just ask for Joe Bolte to go ahead and before you we answer any questions. Joe, you submitted comments earlier. Did you want to have additional comments, or are you going to?
Yeah, I wanted to make two more very brief comments.
Okay.
One is when Assistant Director Perez goes on his roadshow of other commissions to get feedback on, it'll be helpful to remind them to get the word out to everyone they know in their network and ask them to get in touch with Yolo Bus and turn in the results. Also a question, would it be appropriate to ask Yolo Bus drivers to remind folks when they're, you know, stopped at transfer locations, just point out the flyers that are already on the bus and, you know, ask folks if they haven't already to fill it out online or get a hard copy from Yolo Bus office. They probably don't need to, you know, be trained to make the case for Yolo Go or explain anything about it, but just pointing it out will help. I have a tendency to miss lots of the advertisements in the buses. That's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And before we make any comments, other comments, I'd like to go back to Director Ledesma, who wanted to make a comment. You're muted.
Yeah, just need to get myself off mute. Thank you. I just want to say thanks for the update. I know, Jose, I know you met with our team in December. I think you noted that. And that meeting apparently went pretty well. I just wanted to find out, I know part of what they're concerned about, which is what we kind of briefly talked about, which is sort of cost, routes. And I think you're starting to address that. Just want to make sure we follow up on those items. And as this comes back, we have a few exercises going on with with this exercise, with the 3-year kind of budget projection, as well as sort of now a short term planning document. I forgot the name of it, an item ago. But I think it's just important that we kind of always have an eye on that, right? Because I know staff is interested. I know the other jurisdictions are going to be concerned about the financial impact of this and not knowing the future post through the remains of COVID and post COVID. So again, just some important points I want to bring up. And also, I don't know if have you already met with the West Sachs TMI Transportation Mobility?
We have not yet. No, we did discuss that as an opportunity or a potential opportunity for that feedback with West Sacramento staff. And I apologize, I don't have the exact date of when they're meeting again. But if it does fall within the timeline of this, we'd be happy to bring that presentation as well.
We're going to be going through and updating the commissions here in the next 30 days. So, I think some of the concern from staff was around just timing of it all, trying to get it done by March, but it is important to get to that commission for us to get to that commission. for some of the reasons, just to make sure they get their feedback and they have an opportunity to further drive feedback coming out of WSAC.
Thank you very much for your comments. And just to go back to two clarifying questions, I wanted to just make sure that if somebody does pick up a hard copy, they can return it online. And it, with all the many duties of the bus drivers, can they do a over-the-mic reminder, not something that's non-contact?
We actually have the capability of having automated audio and visual announcements inside the buses with the LED signs. So we can absolutely, I've made a note to add that, to have that be timed basically once an hour. So it'll average out that it'll hit many, if not all of our customers to remind them to go to either our website or the direct link, whatever is least cumbersome for somebody riding a bus to kind of hear it and see. So we will be able to do that without asking the bus drivers to have any kind of direct interaction or that. Not to excuse them of it, but they are focusing on safety and moving people efficiently. So,
thank you. And somebody can pick up a paper copy and, of course, fill it out and turn it in online.
Yeah, to address a public comment and question that we received, we will be happy to make copies of the full draft document and recommendations, along with the updated graphics, kind of the before and after pictures, and have that available upon request. We don't want to limit it to in terms of quantity. We will be fairly reasonable. I think if they ask for, say, 100 copies, we may ask them to kind of really limit to what they really need. But our intent, again, is not to make it difficult or onerous for people to get their comments to us. So we envision absolutely being able to send out, you know, if somebody emailed us or called us and asked for a hard copy, provided their address, I don't foresee any issues with being able to mail them that document along with a prepaid response envelope and a separate set of, say, those survey questions and comments cards.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate the work that you do. Moving on to item number 10, 11. Are we at the director's report?
That's fine, and I'll try to be as laser as possible.
Thank you.
I do want to make a mention under the oral report, though. Director or Chair Loren brought it to my attention. There is a poster or flyer moving around on the internet, which basically announces, refuse to be silenced, armed march on Capitol Hill in all state capitals on January 17th. Having said that, in addition to that, the FBI has reported that some potential armed conflicts with protesters may occur anytime between now and the 20th of January, perhaps even longer. So I brought that to the attention of all the other transit operators in the region, and Sacramento Regional Transit's been gracious enough. They're going to host a meeting tomorrow between all the transit operators to figure out what we're going to do if things should get significantly worse. And we have our drivers and passengers in harm's way by being in downtown Sacramento. We've dealt with downtown reroutes due to protests for 7 or 8 weeks straight. We generally know what to do, but this could be substantially different if you bring in the words armed march into the equation. So I just want to let you know that things could happen quickly with regard to our routing in downtown Sacramento. And we will do what we can to notify our riding public as early as possible regarding what changes we may have to institute. Our experience is a lot of it has to be done on the fly because it's sort of a moving road closure situation where what happens at 5 p.m. will be different than what happens at 2 p.m., for example. But you do need to be aware of it because it's a very significant issue which could have ramifications with us. But safety of our drivers and passengers are our utmost concern.
Thank you.
Questions on that one? Director Ledesma, I don't know if you want me to talk about the bus shelter thing for WSAC or if you follow that. We're going to use our bus contract.
No, I don't think so because I think it's unless anybody has any questions. I've been briefed on it.
Yeah, I just don't want to spend $11,000 just to assemble a shelter that's already pre-built. So we're going to do it with
our bus contract. And neither does my dog, apparently. So we're in the back.
Why isn't your dog sleeping like mine right there? You see that?
Now, regarding a question that Mr. Barnbaum asked about earlier, yes, there is new stimulus money available. That's the good news. The bad news is Davis and Woodland got skunked and got nothing this go around. In fact, out of the $14 billion nationwide, the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area got 42% of the pot. So thank you, Mr. Schumer, I guess, has a good influence on how the money was going to be programmed. On the other hand, there is some money under the SAC urban, large urban category that we're going to be making a pitch for that will mostly benefit West Sacramento. But the whole point is we're hoping that they're going to distribute it the same way they did with the last CARES batch of funds for SAC urban area. And we will be getting potentially some money in the rural category, though we will be at the mercy of Caltrans as they come up with their processes for allocating these funds or appropriating these funds. So not great news, but at least some potential revenue sources, revenue amounts for some of the jurisdictions at YCTD. Any questions on that item? We can do these other items by exception. We don't need to belabor this this agenda item. It just depends on what the favor of the board is.
We've received it and read it. Unless there's any, do we have questions from the board on it?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
There's sensitivity on my staff that our YCT staff met with the consultants on the Woodland Transit study without inviting anyone from Woodland to be present. I'm just letting you know that sensitivity exists. I'd be very grateful if you'd be kind enough to ensure that we know when such meetings are going to occur and have the opportunity to participate. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Duly noted. I'm sure that was maybe an oversight.
Yeah, we'll follow up on that one, Director.
Thank you.
Regarding item E, COVID-19, yes, there has been a rush of positive tests by our contractor employees. The good news is most of them are back already. I think only one remains out on leave. But just expect this to continue, especially with this rapidly contagious strain of COVID that's out there. We may have more employees out. We have one of our in-house employees that's out tested positive on COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But we are taking whatever actions we can to maximize safety. We're doing a lot of telecommuting with our employees, but we're still trying to have a presence with the public if they come in to purchase anything in person.
Live camera.
You all are as aware as I am about the stay-at-home order being extended for an indefinite period of time, and that relates to the percentage of hospital beds that are ICU beds that are available in the Sacramento region, including Yolo. So that's should not be a surprise to anyone, but it is a little concerning. We already talked about the protests in downtown Sacramento potentially. Causeway Connection. The main thing that I want to mention here is we are coming up with some matrices that we're going to use for measuring performance, and we will be working with our CAC and others to make sure that these measures are the way to go. And many of these will be used not just for the Causeway connection, but for the rest of our service as well. This gives you an idea what we are doing in that regard. And there's some Causeway connection ridership numbers that are at the bottom of page 21 of the staff report. Moving on, the mutual aid agreement, we finally got feedback from our insurance carrier. I think we're about ready to finally come up with a version of a mutual aid agreement that we can present back to RT, but we had to run it through our insurance underwriter first.
The transfer agreement, that's still in progress, and we're working with RT on that as well. We can talk about the progress report relative to the three primary goals, but it's pretty self-explanatory. But I did go ahead and repeat the desired outcomes at the end of page 22. In case any of you had any questions, you may want to ask perhaps at another time. That's all I'm going to share with you. There's ridership numbers. Another backup data that's in the board packet. We're still down 63% on our fixed route ridership for the month of December versus a year ago, and 47% down on the paratransit side.
Thank you. I have a question. I definitely want to open up for the directors if you have questions or comments, but actually, I'm not sure if this question is for you, Terry, or for Jose, but in our last meeting, we talked about I believe it was in the last meeting, we talked about the what is a youth? Is it 16? Does it cut off at 18? Does it cut off when you're a senior in high school? And I was just wondering if that was a conversation that we were going to work with the other transit agencies on. I don't need an answer now. I'd like that to come back, you know, to make sure that we do work on that, making sure that everybody has the same, kind of gets on the same page with the ages.
Understood.
And that was just my kind of comment. I wanted to get in there before I forgot. Do the directors have comments or questions on the report? Seeing none, is there any public comment on the report? I do not see any hands raised.
We don't have any additional comments or requests for comments in the chat either, Madam Chair.
All right. I would just like to say that these have been pretty trying times with COVID and a lot of loss in our town. And I'm sure that we've all been experiencing the stress of this and the stress of last week. I want to thank the electeds that are here for your service, for your commitment to community, to all of you, for your commitment to public service, and just providing a quality product for all of our communities. So thank you for that. Thank you for what you do. We're going to adjourn our meeting at, I'm trying to look for a time. I don't have the time. Let me see. At 8:36. We'll see each other again February 8th at 7 p.m. Be careful out there.
Thank you and good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good night.